Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Yud Ches. We're going to begin on Daf Yud Zayin on the base. Three lines from the bottom. Toshma Sikha bin Sarim. We learned in the Gemara yesterday that everybody agrees that an empty space of three tefachim in a sukkah disqualifies a sukkah. Again, we always have to remember that we're dealing with a sukkah that only has three walls. So when you have an empty space, that divides the sukkah into two, and you only have two walls. And as we've learned, a sukkah of two walls is disqualified. Where there was a shayla in the Gemara, where there was a machlaikis, was if in the middle of the sukkah, how much posel schach disqualifies the sukkah? Is it four tefachim or four amos? And another din that we learned yesterday that everybody agrees to, that on the side of the sukkah, you could have up to four amos of posel schach, because we say doifin akuma. Says the Gemara, Tashma, sichcha ben asarim, if one put boards on top of the schach, and we already learned this brisa, top of the sukkah, shall erez, shesh behen dalid, if the boards are four tefachim wide, divrei hakol psula. This is, as we learned, a corroboration of Shmuel's understanding of the machlokes of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, that everybody agrees that boards that are four tefachim wide disqualify sukkah. Ein behen dalid, but if they're not four tefachim wide, Ramei poysel, Rabbi Yehuda machshel. Ramei says that sukkah is posel, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. However, Umayda Ramei agrees, Shem yesh bein neser leneser, that between the boards, there's empty space, kamalei neser, the same width as those boards, Shem neich pesel beinayim, you put pesel means kosher schach, psoilus geron v'yakev. You put kosher schach there, ukshera, and it's kosher. So we have here boards running throughout the sukkah, and each board is four tefachim wide, and you have kosher schach, and the Gemara is saying that it's kosher. Says the Gemara, Bishlam al-Mandom abeim be'emtsu be'im minatzad b'dal amis, according to the Mandom that holds that posel schach, no matter where in the roof of the sukkah it is, only disqualifies the sukkah when it's four amis wide, mishamachik sheira. Because even though I have this posel schach, this four tefachim schach, doesn't bother me. Why doesn't it bother me? Because four tefachim is not osur. It has to be four amos. El lamanda omba be'emtza ba'arba, but according to the manda omba that says that in the middle of the schach, once it's four tefachim wide, that disqualifies the sukkah, a mike shera. So just because you have this rotating basis of posel schach, kosher schach, posel schach, but once you have posel schach that's four tefachim wide, it's posel. If that's what we're learning, that posel schach in the middle of the sukkah passels, disqualifies by four tefachim. And the Aruch Lener says, the Gemara could have said that we're speaking here not of boards that are four tefachim wide, we're speaking about boards that are between three and four tefachim wide. We Rameyer agrees that even though he holds boards that are between three and four tefachim wide, apostle, he still holds that you'll need four tefachim to disqualify the sukkah. Says the Aruch Lener, the Gemara could have said that, but the Gemara is assuming that the people who taught us this brisa, Umayd Rameya, are both Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a three tefach board is never a problem. It's only Rabbi Yehuda that has that issue. So the fact that we want that this brisa should also be teaching us something according to Rabbi Yehuda prevents us from saying that teretz. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. So Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua explains the brisa this way. Hocha b'sukkah good d'loy hava ela shmoina amos mitzumtzamos eskinan. We're dealing with a sukkah which is actually 8 amos. Now 8 amos is 48 tefachim. 8 times 6. V'yov nesru pesel, v'nesru pesel, v'nesru pesel mahai gisa. He keeps on rotating from one side of the roof, and Nesro Pesel, Nesro Pesel, Nesro Pesel Mahai Gisa, and then he rotates from the other side, Davalei Shnei Psolim Be'emtsa. If you're going to take 48 tfachim and start dividing it in strips of 4 tfachim width, you're going to end up, as diagram 111 on page 37 shows you, with 8 tfachim of kosher schach in the middle. Vika hechsha sukkah b'emtza. You have a perfect sukkah in the middle, because as we've learned, a sukkah really doesn't have to be 8 tfachim. It only has to be 7 tfachim. Here you have 8 tfachim. So now let's analyze the sukkah part by part. The 8 tfachim in the middle is a kosher sukkah. The two sides, which the entire width of the sukkah is 48, if we deduct 8 from 48, we have 40. If we divide 40 into 2, it's 20 and 20. So we'll have 20 tfachim on the right side of schach kosher and boards rotating, and we'll have 20 tfachim on the left side of that. 20 tfachim is less than 4 amos. 4 amos is 24. When you have less than 4 amos, we say doifen akuma. So this sukkah becomes kosher because the two sides have doifen akuma, and the middle is a kosher sukkah. Even though you had boards of 4 tfachim here. And even though we hold that boards of 4 tfachim in the middle of a sukkah disqualify a sukkah. What is the question that's left? In the middle of the sukkah, it's perfectly fine. The question is, on the side of the sukkah, where we're relying on doifen akuma. So when we learned yesterday the halachas of doifen akuma, the halach of doifen akuma is, the simple case of doifen akuma, is that you have posel schach anywhere up to the first 4 amos of the side of the sukkah. The halach is, you can't sit under the doifen akuma. It makes a lot of sense. The doifen akuma is not schach, it's wall. What's going to be the halach under these 20 tfachim of rotating schach and boards? Will you be allowed to sit under the posel schach? You're certainly not allowed to sit under the boards. Are you going to be allowed to sit under the kosher schach? So it's a machlokes rishonim. The Meiri says that we're viewing this entire area, this entire 20 tfachim, as a doifen akuma, and the halach is that under a doifen akuma, you're not allowed to sit. Rashi says you're only not allowed to sit under the board, but under the schach part of the doifen akuma, you'll be allowed to sit. But Baruch Ner has a practical problem with what Rashi says. How does this 20 tfachim look? First you have kosher, you have posel schach, then kosher schach, then posel schach, then kosher schach, back and forth. How wide is every piece? 4 tfachim. A person can't fit under 4 tfachim. We keep on saying that a person takes 7 tfachim or more. So how is he going to fit under 4 tfachim? So the Aruch Ner says a very interesting teretz. The Aruch Ner says he's going to start sitting under the kosher schach, which is 4 tfachim. Part of his body will then extend into the posel schach area. But then the rest of his body will then go right back into kosher schach area. So since the beginning of your body is in kosher schach area, and the end of your body is in kosher schach area, we always have to remember day 8 in a reclining fashion. We're talking about sleeping. Even though the middle is under schach posel, it's not a problem. That's how the Aruch Haner explains Rashi Shita. Just for those people who like math, the Mashal says that this cheshbon, this calculation we made, could work anywhere when the sukkah is between 32 and 48 tfachim wide. Once the sukkah gets wider, you're not going to be able to have doifen akuma, because we can't have more than 4 amos on the side. Once we have more than 4 amos on the side, we can't use doifen akuma. So the Mashal says, actually we could make it work with a 32 tfachim sukkah, and you'll have smaller boards, or you'll have less boards, but it could still work with less boards. But once you have more than 48 tfachim, you'll have too many posel boards on the side to be able to use doifen akuma.
Isn't that part of the
doifen? Oh, so that's the machlokes Rashi Meiri. The Meiri says that the kosher part becomes part of the doifen akuma, and you can't sit on it. That's the Meiri. Rashi says what's kosher is kosher, what's posel is posel. That's the machlokes. Correct. Amar Abaya, Avishloisha b'sukkah gedayla. You have 3 tfachim, which we spoke, and everybody agrees to this halacha, that a break of 3 tfachim in a sukkah disqualifies the sukkah. This is diagram 112. avir shloish b'sukkah gedayla.
So we want to have less than three tefachim of empty space, because as we said, three tefachim disqualifies the sukkah. So one way of limiting it is by putting kosher schach. That's the best way, kanim. The other way is by putting shvudim, by putting posel schach. What's posel schach, we said, is for tefachim, not three tefachim. The halacha is have a miyat. That's considered a legitimate way of reducing the empty space. But that is only on a sukkah gedoyla. A sukkah gedoyla is a sukkah that's more than seven tefachim. However, b'sukkah ketana, when you're dealing with a sukkah ketana, which is diagram 113, what is the size of a sukkah ketana? 7 by 7. We learned yesterday that by sukkah ketana, even posel schach disqualifies the sukkah with three tefachim. So taking the airspace of three tefachim and putting in some posel schach isn't going to help you, because you still have three tefachim of disqualified area. It wouldn't help. B'sukkah ketana, b'kanim, if you'll put in kosher schach, have a meat, that's the way of making the sukkah kosher. B'shvudim, lo have a meat. But if you're going to put in posel schach, it won't work. Now, a very important question. The Gemara here is saying that three tefachim in the sukkah, you have three tefachim in the sukkah gedoyla. Back to diagram 112. That is, so the sukkah is disqualified. Now I'm going to put in posel schach, so I don't have three tefachim of empty space anymore. So what made this sukkah kosher? Posel schach. Ask the Sfas Emes, isn't that a classical case of tassav alei menasi? So the Sfas Emes answers a ge'oynish teretz. He starts with a diak. He says, why did the Gemara have to choose a case of Ave Shloisha? The Gemara could have chosen a case of Ave Arba, because for Pschach Posel we said you could have up to four tefachim of Pschach Posel. So let's say we'll have four tefachim of empty space and just fill up more than a tefach of it with Posel Pschach. Why do you have to start with three tefachim of empty space? We could have spoken about a different case. Says the Sfas Emes, as far as Posel Pschach is concerned, three tefachim is not an issue. It only becomes an issue by four tefachim. So this is not schach posel. Schach posel only gets the shame psul. It only gets the shame that it's disqualified when it's four tefachim. When it's only three tefachim, it may in actuality be disqualified schach. It may be metal poles, but it's not schach posel, because by three tefachim there is no concept of disqualified schach. So you're not making a sukkah kosher with disqualified schach, because it's not disqualified by three tefachim. That's why the Gemara Dafka spoke about three tefachim, not four tefachim. Because it's not disqualified. For three tefachim, it's not disqualified. Yeah, but you didn't use posel schach, but for three tefachim, metal poles are not disqualified. They're as good as wood poles, when it's only three tefachim on question. It's a very deep teretz. The Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Berurah have a very interesting machlokes. We said that a schach posel is four tefachim. Empty space is three tefachim. What's going to be the halacha if I have next to two spots on the sukkah, two tefachim of empty space and three tefachim of schach posel? Can I sit under that area or not? Because the halacha is, you can't sit under three tefachim of avir, but you don't have three tefachim of avir. You only have two tefachim of avir. But here, next to the avir, you have posel schach. So you have a total of five. Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to sit. Because under avir, the only time you're not allowed to sit is when you have three tefachim of avir. Here you don't have three tefachim of avir. Chazon Ish says you can't sit under such an area. Even though you really only have two tefachim of avir, but you can't ignore that it's schach posel, and therefore you can't sit under it. It could be, I was thinking, that according to the Chazon Ish, you can't say the Sfas Emes teretz. Because the Chazon Ish is saying that you can't ignore schach posel being schach posel under any circumstances. The Miches Chinuch makes a very interesting distinction. He says, when the Gemara says that when you have this empty space, you could fill it up with schach posel, he says there are two types of psul. There's a psul that it's a metal pole.
That's a schach posel. And you can have sometimes schach gozel. Let's say somebody stole good schach, but it's stolen. Says the Meches Chinuch, our Gemara is only speaking about a case where you use metal poles. And with the Sfasemis' understanding, it's beautiful. Because in such a small area, metal poles are not possible schach. But stolen schach is always disqualified. It's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. And therefore, the Meches Chinuch says that even though you're just using it to close up a small gap, it will still be disqualified when you use such schach. V'hani mili, says the Gemara, when can we say that an empty space, as long as it's less than 3 tefachim, can be limited? That's only menatzad, when the empty space is on the side of the sukkah. Av be'emtza, in the middle of the roof, pligibo Rav Acha Ravina. The machlekes Rav Acha Ravina, chad omer, yesh loved, be'emtza, this is diagram 114. One man Dama says we say love it even in the middle of the roof. The Charama ain't love it b'emtza. We don't say love it in the middle of the roof. So there's a very important Ran here to help us understand the Gemara. The Ran discusses such. The Ran begins with a very fundamental question. The Gemara here is introducing the question: is there love it in the middle of the sukkah, or is there not love it in the middle of the roof of the sukkah? Ask the Ran, why do we have to discuss it in the middle of the sukkah? Why shouldn't we discuss it on the side of the sukkah? Do we say love it? Why do we have to mix it together? We learned the Gemara about the side of the sukkah, and now we're talking about the middle. What's going on here? Says the Ran, let's say you'll have a situation where you'll have a sukkah, then you'll have posel eschach, but it's less than 4 amos, so you'll say doifen akuma. And then you'll have less than 3 tefachim of empty space. That sukkah, says the Ran, is certainly disqualified. Why? Because I need to say 2 halachah l'moshe m'sinais consecutively. First I have to have a doifen akuma, and then I have to have loved, and you can't say 2 halachah l'moshe m'sinais one next to the other. Says Rav Kivega, pshat in the Ran, only when the 2 halachah l'moshe m'sinais are dependent on each other. That means, here we have, first, to make this sukkah kosher, first we have to say doifen akuma, and then we have to say loved. We can't do it. But let's say we'll have a sukkah that has 2 halachah l'moshe m'sinais, but the 2 halachah l'moshe m'sinais, one isn't dependent on the other. Let's say one side of the sukkah, or the roof, will use a doifen akuma, and the other side of the sukkah, you'll have empty space. You'll have loved. That's okay, because those 2 halachah l'moshe m'sinais aren't dependent on each other. But when the 2 halachah l'moshe m'sinais are dependent on each other, then we don't say them together. Says Tosfos, we're beginning now a sugya, if we say loved on the top of the roof. Says Tosfos, that's only on the roof. On the walls, everybody agrees that we say loved. That if there's a breach of less than 3 tefachim, we learned the Gemara, nobody argued on it, we say loved. The Sfas Emes goes a step further. Tosfos says, this discussion that we're having now in our Gemara, that we say loved in the middle of the roof of a sukkah, is only in a sukkah ketana. But let's say you have a sukkah gedoyla. We'll discuss it even more tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. And the sukkah has empty space in it, even if we certainly say loved by. Why? So Tosfos says a beautiful explanation. He said, we explained this yesterday. Loved accomplishes one of two things. It either accomplishes that it looks at the area as closed, even though it may be physically open. And the other thing that lover does is, it could schlep, it could extend a wall, it could extend the ceiling. Says the Sfas Emes, when we have a sukkah, big sukkah, that's a kosher sukkah, and you have empty space, what do you need lover for? You don't need lover to extend the ceiling, the ceiling has enough room. What you need lover to accomplish, it's just to look at it as if the area is closed. That we always say love it. When is there a shail if we say love it or not? If we want to extend ceilings. And that, our Gemara teaches us now, is a machloikas if we say love it then or not. My tam demand on a yesh love of emtsa. Who's the mandam that says that in the middle of the ceiling we say love it? The Tanya. Kaira yoitz mekoisel. We look at diagram 115. We know, we learned Masechta Erevin Baruch Hashem, that if you have a mavui that has 3 walls, but it has 1 wall open, as the front wall here shows us,
In order to be able to carry in this mavui, you have to make a lechi, which is a side post, or kair is a beam. Says the Mishnah in Masechet Erevin, Brice actually. Kair ayoyitz mekaisel zeh, veninayim gas mekaisel achar. The beam doesn't quite reach the other wall. The can't stay kairis, or you have two beams. Ach yoyitz mekaisel zeh, one goes out from one wall, v'ach yoyitz mekaisel achar, veninayim gazu bazu, and the two beams don't touch. Is that locha? Parchas mishloisha, if there's less than three space between the two beams, ain't tzarach lavi kair acheres. It's acceptable, we say love it. Shloisha, but if there's a break of more than three tefachim, tzarach lavi kair acheres. So you see that it's in the middle. And there's man da'amah that says you say love it. Vidach, the man da'amah that says we don't say love it on a ceiling, how come there we say it? Says the Gemara, shani kairis drabonin. There we're dealing with a drabonin subject, and we don't say, that's why we're more lenient. We can't apply it to sukkah, which is a chiv derais to build a proper sukkah. Says the Gemara, my time of the man da'amah ain't love it b'emtzah. What's the basis for the man da'amah that says we don't say love it in the middle of a ceiling? The Tana. A rubin shavabayis. Somebody has a skylight in the roof of his home. Or bar peseach tefach. And the skylight is a tefach wide. Tumah b'bayis. If there's tumah in the house, kulay tumah. We consider that the entire roof is closed because that break of a hole is considered closed. Masha k'neged aruba. But if there's a mace right below the star, the skylight, and we see this in diagram 116, tahor. Tumah k'neged aruba. Let's say the tumah is right under the skylight, kalabai is kalatar. Then we say that the entire house is tar, because the tumah goes out through the skylight. Ein baruba peseich tefach, continues the Mishnah. Let's say that skylight doesn't have a tefach. Tumah bayis kenegra ruba tar. If there's tumah in the house, the area facing the skylight is tahar, because that's a hole, that's not part of the oil. Tumah kenegra ruba. If the tumah is under the skylight, kolabai is kula tar. The whole house is tar. Now, what's the question? Before we go into the question, the braisa, the Mishnah, differentiated between when there is a tefach, when the skylight is a tefach or not. But the halachis that the Mishnah teaches us, there is no difference between when it's a tefach wide or not. So Rashi asks it a little more explicitly. Why did the Mishnah have to teach me about a hole that's a tefach wide or a hole that's less than a tefach if the halach is the exact same? Answers Taisus, for the halachas that we're discussing and that are relevant to us, there's no difference. The difference is in other halachas that I mentioned in the Mishnah there. But what does it say here? That even though you have this hole in the roof, if the tum is right under the hole is not considered like it's closed. Even though the hole is less than a tefach wide. Love it, we say, by less than three tefachim. So we see that we don't say love it on the roof. That's the proof we don't say love it on the roof. Ask the Magen Avraham, a gevaldige kasha. We learned the Tosfos yesterday that we never use love it l'hachmer. We only use love it l'kula. Here, by using love it, what would we have? We'd have a chumrah, that the entire house is oil. We don't use love it l'chumrah. Answers the Magen Avraham, and this is the third time we're going to say this concept, because it's an emissa concept. There are two types of loved. If we're going to loved that extends walls, loved that extends ceilings, that we don't say. Here we're not looking to extend a wall or a ceiling. Here we're looking, is this area considered closed? Does this crack mean that my ceiling is open, or does it mean that my ceiling is closed? That loved is a physical fact in halacha. And that loved, we said, it doesn't make a difference if it causes a cooler or a chumrah. Yet here, we're not saying that love it is a proof that we don't say love it on the ceiling. Dor Shab Yehuda Bar Aloy. Bay Shem Nifchas. If you have a house that has a breach in the ceiling. V'sichach Agavav. This is diagram 117. V'sichach Agavav K'shera. Omer Lefon Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Pirish. Please explain. So he says, Kach Pirish Abba. Abba Amis Psula. If there's more than four amis from the wall to the schach, it's possible, because we can't say doifin akuma, pachas mi abba amis, but if it's less than four amis, it's kosher, because we could say doifin akuma. The Gemara, for a few lines, goes off to a different subject, because it's another drasha that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Loi made, and that's why the Gemara quotes it. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Bar Loi, Avruma. Avruma is a kosher fish. But this kosher fish, sometimes non-kosher fish can adhere to it. And the question is, when you pick it up, do we have to be concerned that there's non-kosher fish attached to it? Avruma Sharya. Omer fun Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Pirish. Explain what you said. So he says, Kacham Abba, this is what my father said, Shemakam Plani Asuri. In this specific area, this fish is Asur. Shemakam Plani Materis. From the other place, it's Mutter. Kihod Amr Abaya, Hait Sachanta, the Bab Nara, the fish that swam in Bab Nara, Sharya. Mai Tama, Ilema, Mishum Duridifimaya. If you're telling me that the water, the ocean in that area, has a very strong color, current, V'hai Dag Tame, and a non-kosher fish, Kivin the Les Lechot HaShedra, since it doesn't have a backbone, Lematzi Koyim, and therefore can't survive in that ocean. And therefore I don't have to be concerned that when I'm picking up the kosher fish, there may be attached non-kosher fish, because non-kosher fish could have never existed in that area. Ask the Gemara, V'kachazin and the Koy. We see that non-kosher fish, even without the black bone, does swim in that water. It says the Gemara, Mishum de Milchimayim. The water has a lot of salt, a lot of sodium content, and the non-kosher fish can't survive in that type of area. For high dag tummy, kim the less like kilfi, since it doesn't have scales, like matzikoi, it can't exist in this type of water. Says the Gemara, for kachazayna de koi, we see that fish, even non-kosher fish, it can exist in very high sodium content water. Says the Gemara, the reason you're allowed to eat the fish from this area without checking, because in this area, this non-kosher fish doesn't swim. It only swims, only kosher fish swim in this water, and therefore you don't have to check. Therefore, says Ravina, I'm Ravina, V'edna de shafchen nahar esa v'nahar gam de lahasam, now that the created, that all the oceans of the world are connected, through rivers and canals, so all the fish in the world could swim from one body of water to another body of water, asira. That's why you can never, even if there's an area where you think that only kosher fish swim, you can still have to check every fish, because you have to be concerned that fish from a different body of water, which is non-kosher, came to this body of water. And this is the basis for the famous tshuva of Ramosha on the tuna fish. Ramosha was machmer that tuna fish needs hashgacha tamidus, because he said that even though they told him that the water in which the fish swim, only kosher species of fish swim there, but he says, Al Gemara said that all the water in the world is connected, and therefore you have to be concerned that non-kosher species might have come into that water. Itma, continues the Gemara. Sichach agabe eksadra shiesh loy ptsimim. If somebody makes a sukkah, and the sukkah is made by an eksadra, we said are the porches that jut out of the house, and they have ptsimim. This is diagram 117. They have these poles. Says the Gemara, everybody will agree that this is a kosher sukkah. She'en loy ptsimim. However, if it doesn't have these poles, abaya makshera, we could still say it's kosher. Why? Because we'll say doif and akuma. Rav amapsula, abaya makshera, aminon, because we say pi tikra yarevisaisim. What case do we say it in? Abaya is discussing a case, again, if we look at diagram 118. In this diagram, we have the following. Let's analyze the diagram somewhat. In this diagram, the porch that's sticking out of the wall is more than 4 amos. So since it's more than 4 amos, I can't say doif nakuma. But Abaye says I have a different halachic principle I could apply. And that's the application of Pit Tikri Yervisoysen. That the end of the wall, I assume that there's a halachic wall coming down, and that creates a wall around the sukkah. Pit Tikri Yervisoysen. Rava disagrees with Abaye. Rav Amar Psula, Because lo yamrinin pi tikkur yari v'saisim. We don't subscribe to that. I don't subscribe to that concept. Ask the Gemara, omle Rav Labaya, asks Rav Tabaya, lidi dachta amrit pi tikkur yari v'saisim, according to you that you subscribe to this concept, so what's going to be an halacha, a fila hifchis, doi finem tzoi, case 119. Here you have 119. This is, in a way, a better schukka. You have two full walls, but the back wall is completely open. So why don't we say doifin akuma? And why don't we say pitikri yarev esayisim for the back wall? Afil hefchis doifin emtsoi, amlach medina lach bahi. In that sukkah, I agree, it will be disqualified. Why? Davalei kumava mefolish. Since this sukkah only has the two parallel walls, it's open in the front and open in the back, people could easily walk through this sukkah. And since people could easily walk through this sukkah, that defeats the entire purpose of the sukkah. And therefore, even I will agree that we don't say P'tikru Yarev Esayisim. There's an interesting. Rashi here says, in order to say P'tikru Yarev Esayisim, how big does the ceiling that you want that the wall should come down from be? Says Rashi, to say P'tikru Yarev Esayisim, it only has to be a tefach wide. And Masechta the Shabbos, where the Gemara wants to apply the concept of P'tikru Yarev Esayisim, the Gemara says that in order to use a ceiling to be able to say P'tikru Yarev Esayisim, it has to be four tefachim. So the Bach asks, how come over there we said four tefachim, and here we say only one tefach? Answers the Bach. We've said this concept in the Masechta already. Hilchos Shabbos, where we're dealing with Issa Skila, we need much more of a significant ceiling. That's why we need four tefachim. Here, we were talking about only sukkah, a mitzvah say, one tefach is enough. There is a machlaikis hamafarshim. What is the lomdus? What is the concept behind P'tikru Yarev Esayisim? So I saw three different approaches in the mafarshim. One approach the mafarshim say is that the halach l'moshe m'Sinai creates a wall here. The halach l'moshe m'Sinai says that the wall comes down and we have a wall. A second approach that I saw is that when we learned Masechta Erevin, we're quoting Masechta Erevin a lot today, when we learned Masechta Erevin, the Gemara kept on speaking about a Tzuras HaPesach. We actually spoke about a Tzuras HaPesach in this Masechta also. What does a Tzuras HaPesach accomplish? That if it looks like a doorway, it's considered a door, not considered empty space. So they say that P'tikru Yarev Esayisim works with the same back basis as Tzuras HaPesach works. And the Chazon Ish has a different approach. He says, I guess it's the most practical approach, he says, you can't create walls where there are no walls. Here there's no wall at all, there's only a ceiling. What does P'tikru accomplish? P'tikru segregates the area that within the ceilings, that it should be considered its own domain, its own separate rishos. Says the Gemara, Lema Baiva Rava, perhaps we should say that Abai and Rava, the pluk the Rav Shmuel Kamifki, arguing the same achloik as the Rav and Shmuel did, Dipna. Achsadra Vabika, which is diagram 120. In diagram 120, we have this bika, this area that's open. We create a ceiling and four poles. Achsadra Bika. Rav Avimutal Tat Bakulai. We say P'tikru Yarev Esayisim, and the entire area is enclosed. Damrim P'tikru Yarev Esayisim. V'shmul Amar Emetat Makula El B'dal Ramas. You can't carry under this roof. The Lo Yamrim P'tikru Yarev Esayisim. Ask Tosfos the obvious question. A moment ago, we said, diagram 119, where you have two full walls, just because the front wall and the back wall are open, even a buyer who holds a P'tikru Yarev Esayisim, because it's so, I guess breachable is the right word, if there's such a word. It's so breachable, you can't say P'tikru Yarev Esayisim. Here it's a lot worse, says Tosfos. Here we have all four sides open. So how can the Gemara compare the two cases? So Tosfos has a whole different approach to the Gemara
because of this kasha. It's the bottom taisus on the Amid. But the Pnei Yeshua, we have to understand Rashi. Pnei Yeshua says that this area of four open walls is better than a sukkah with two open walls. Because this area is in a bika. It's in an enclosed area. Since it's in an enclosed area, we're not starting with an area where people are really walking anyway. So we could say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim, even though it's open on all four sides. However, the sukkah, the case before, was in a more area, it was an area where there's more traffic, and therefore, since it's so breachable, we don't say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim. There's a machlokes that this Gemara that we're discussing, that when we have this achsadra with the four poles, do we say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim? Would this apply even when this achsadra is in the Rishus HaRabim? Or would it apply only when the achsadra is in a Karmelis? Machlokes Rishayim. Says the Gemara, Aliva the Shmuel, Shmuel that says that we don't apply Pitikah Yerev Asoysim, Kulam Alay Pligi. Everybody, Abaya, who subscribes to Pitikah Yerev Asoysim, certainly cannot agree with Shmuel, who does not say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim. Says the Gemara, Ki Pligi Aliva the Rav. The question is, according to Rav. Rav, who applies the concept of Pitikah Yerev Asoysim, a diagram 120, what will demand, does it have to be that only Abaya agrees with Rav, or could Rav also agree with Rav? Says the Gemara, Abaya k'Rav. To say that Abaya and Rav agree is very simple, because Abaya said Pitikah Yerev Asoysim, and Rav said Pitikah Yerev Asoysim. Rav comes along and says, At kan l'kama Rav hosom. You know where Rav applies the concept of Pitikah Yerev Asoysim in diagram 120. The mechitzas l'chsadri hu davidi. These mechitzas are made. What's the point of this roof? The point of this roof is to enclose the area inside it. That's what you made this enclosed area. You want to keep this area enclosed. So therefore, I subscribe to Pitikah Yerev Asoysim. Aval hacha. When we go back to diagram 118, and we want to say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim, the point of the wall, the ceiling, from which we're saying Pitikah Yerev Asoysim, it isn't to enclose the area inside between the two ceilings that are jutting out. That isn't the point of those ceilings. The point of those ceilings are, that's my porch. Says the Gemara, says Rava, when can we say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim? When can we say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim? Only where the area that I'm closing was meant to be enclosed. But if I'm using Pitikah Yerev Asoysim to enclose an area outside of it, which is not what it was created for, there we can't say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim. Let's read the Gemara inside. So they can be used to say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim. Where they're not made for that purpose, loy. We can't say Pitikah Yerev Asoysim. As we finish the shir, the Masham makes an interesting observation. We had a Gemara, we had a whole sugya, that let's say we have a mechitza teluya. What was the definition of a mechitza teluya? You have a mechitza that's 10 tefachim tall. Just doesn't reach the floor. It's above 3 tefachim from the floor. We had a machlokes in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi in the Tanakama, and if that's considered a legitimate wall. In this case, what do we have? We have nothing. We have Pitikra. Says the Masham, ask the Masham. Pitikra, we're going to say. Even though we have absolutely no wall at all. And there, where we had a real wall, that was 10 tefachim, just there was a breach on the bottom, it's not good enough. It's Mechitza Teluya. What's the Svara? Says the Masham like this. He says, when you have a wall, you have to have a proper wall. And a wall that has such a big space on the bottom is not a wall. When you're not relying on a wall, when you're relying on imaginary walls, on halachic walls, they don't have to have any wall. And that's why I'm better off, says the Masham,
to have pitikra with no wall at all than to have a good wall with a big breach on the bottom. This Gemara, actually, was very much used la'loch l'maisa. When they wanted to start making Ervin in the United States, Ramechal Ber Weissmandel discussed with Ramosha that she used the elevated trains to serve for the Erev. So Ramosha used this Gemara and said that perhaps Al Gemara says you can't say Pitikra to say that the elevator, that the tracks, we should say, or the platform more, we should say Pitikra and it comes down, because that point of that is not to enclose the area on the bottom. And Rava just taught us that if the point is not to enclose the area that it's covering, we don't say Pitikra. That's why Rav Moshe did not agree with Rav Weissmandel to use the platforms or the trains for Ervin based on Pitikra Yerivisaisim. The Michas Yitzchak, who was a Mechutin with Rav Mechaber Weissmandel, discusses what Rav Mechaber says, and he says, it seems that Ramosh is right. It's an explicit Gemara that we learned. But he quotes a Pischa Zuta, that the Pischa Zuta says that this qualification that Rava made, that we could only use Pitikra when it was meant to enclose an area, is only a din in Hilchas Sukkah, but not a din anywhere else. Everywhere else where we want to apply Pitikra, it doesn't make a difference what the point of the ceiling was. So therefore, for Ervin, the Pischa Zuta says, you could say Pitikra even when the Tikra was not meant to enclose an area.